Yasudhananana Vraja Janaranjana Sudhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamunatiravanachari Jamunatiravanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Vishnu Path Paramahansa Vajibhaja Gacharja Astatara Sri Sri Mahārāja The Divine Grace of Vaicharnāra Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai Sri Hari Nām Sankirtana Ki Jai Sri Holy Radhastami Festival Ki Jai Sri Sri Rukmini Dvaraka Dish Ki Jai Nittai Gaura Premānanda All glories to the sum of devotees All glories to the sum of devotees All glories to the sum of devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaura. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda So today we wanted to read from a couple different books from the Chaitanya Charitamrita because Srila Prabhupada gives so many wonderful purports to Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami's verses. And of course we're following the footsteps of the Goswamis who took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as being non-different than Radha and Krishna. So there's a lot of a wonderful nectar. We can't cover it all, so I'm going to be just skipping here and there, reading some purports, and then we'll take a few bits and pieces from a very nice book put together by Bhakti Purushottam Swami, in which he gives some very nice pastimes and nectar about Srimati Radharani. So, I'll read just the translations. Just for the sake of time, Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, the be-all and end-all of the great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and the essence of the love of the lotus-eyed gopis. Jai Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkanath. The be-all and end-all of all the great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and the essence of the love of the lotus-eyed gopis, will he again be the object of my vision? Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarian mellows of the love of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha, and so he has assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and the complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Purport. This is a text from the diary of Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami. It appears in the fifth of the first 14 verses of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Translation. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellow of love. Purport. The two transcendentalists, Radha and Krishna, are a puzzle to materialists. The above description of Radha and Krishna from the diary of Srila Sarup Damodar Goswami is a condensed explanation, but one needs great spiritual insight to understand the mystery of these two personalities. One is enjoying in two. Sri Krishna is the potent factor, and Srimati Radharani is the internal potency. According to Vedanta philosophy, there is no difference between the potent and the potency. They are identical. We cannot differentiate between one and the other any more than we can separate fire from heat. Everything in the absolute is inconceivable in relative existence. Therefore, in relative cognizance, it is very difficult to assimilate this truth of the oneness between the potent and the potency. The philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference propounded by Lord Chaitanya is the only source of understanding for such intricacies of transcendence. In fact, Radharani is the internal potency of Sri Krishna, and she eternally intensifies the pleasure of Sri Krishna. Impersonalists cannot understand this without the help of a Mahabhagavat devotee. The very name Radha suggests that Srimati Radharani is eternally the topmost mistress of the comforts of Sri Krishna. As such, she is the medium transmitting the living entity's service to Sri Krishna. Devotees in Vrindavan therefore seek the mercy of Srimati Radharani in order to be recognized as loving servitors of Sri Krishna. This is a very important point that Srila Prabhupada makes here right from the beginning, and we wanted to address it from the very beginning, and that is that this knowledge, the position of Srimati Radharani and the relationship between Radha and Krishna is something that should be heard from the Mahabhagavat. It's not something that we just sort of experienced one morning. After a long rest, all of a sudden we wake up in the morning and we're feeling some special rasa. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to hear it from a Mahabhagavat. And again, there are so many persons in the world nowadays who are propounding so many ecstasies and relationships and mellows that they're experiencing, but for the most part, it's probably just some intoxication they're taking. But it actually should be understood from the liberated souls, just as we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada here. It's not subject matter that we can just sort of toy around with, and after a few months or 6 months or 6 years, all of a sudden we're feeling some kind of ecstasies walking down the street, hip-hopping and skipping. It doesn't work like that. It has to be heard and understood very very thoroughly, as a matter of fact. And Srila Prabhupada makes that point numerous times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And to think that Srila Prabhupada is not presenting it in the most complete way is also very ignorant. Srila Prabhupada is given these wonderful descriptions and purports, and they're complete. They're giving everything in its topmost way. Lord Chaitanya personally approaches the fallen conditioned souls of the Iron Age to deliver the highest principle of transcendental relationships with the Lord. The activities of Lord Chaitanya are primarily in the role of the pleasure-giving portion of his internal potency. The Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the omnipotent form of transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss in full. His internal potency is exhibited first as sat, or existence, or in other words, as the portion that expands the existence function of the Lord. When the same potency displays full knowledge, it is called chit, or samvit, which expands the transcendental forms of the Lord. Finally, when the same potency plays as a pleasure-giving medium, it is known as haladini, or the transcendental bliss, blissful potency. Thus, the Lord manifests his internal potency in three transcendental divisions. Now to enjoy rasa, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I shall first delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that description, the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Haladini. That Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Oh, very wonderful verse here. I'll read that again. That Haladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately discussed the Haladini potency in his Priti Sandarbha. He says that the Vedas clearly state, only devotional service can lead one to the personality of Godhead. Only devotional service can help a devotee meet the Supreme Lord face to face. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is attracted by devotional service, and as such, the ultimate supremacy of Vedic knowledge rests in knowing the science of devotional service. So the very three very important points that are just they're repeated, repeating the same principle, and that is that to understand Krishna, one has to be engaged in devotional service. It's not by karma, jnana, or just some yoga, but it's by the process of devotional service. And we've heard many times and discussed many times, anyone can do something. You can do something. Even a child can do something. If nothing, at least chant Hare Krishna. What is the particular attraction that makes the Supreme Lord enthusiastic to accept devotional service? And what is the nature of such service? The Vedic scriptures inform us that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is self-sufficient, and that Maya, nescience, can never influence him at all. Therefore, the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. Such a potency cannot be anything of the material manifestation. You can see how this is leading to understanding the position of Radharani, the Haladini Shakti. Therefore, the potency that overcomes the Supreme must be purely spiritual. Such a potency cannot be anything of the material manifestation. The bliss enjoyed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be of material composition, like the impersonalist conception of the bliss of Brahman. Devotional service is reciprocation between two, and therefore it cannot be located simply within one's self. Therefore, the bliss of self-realization, Brahmananda, cannot be equated with devotional service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has three kinds of internal potency, namely the Hladini Shakti, the Sandini Shakti, and the Samvit Shakti. In the Vishnu Purana, the Lord is addressed as follows: O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes, Hladini, Sandini, and Samvit, exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. Hladini is the personal manifestation of the blissfulness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by which he enjoys pleasure. Because the pleasure potency is perpetually present in the Lord, the theory of the impersonalist that the Lord appears in the material mode of goodness cannot be accepted. The impersonalistic conclusion is against the Vedic version that the Lord possesses a transcendental pleasure potency. When the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is exhibited by His grace in the person of a devotee, that manifestation is called love of God. Love of God is an epithet for the pleasure potency of the Lord. Therefore, devotional service reciprocated between the Lord and His devotee is an exhibition of the transcendental pleasure potency of the Lord. The potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that always enriches Him with transcendental bliss is not material, but the Sanskritites have accepted it as such because they are ignorant of the identity of the Supreme Lord and His pleasure potency. Those ignorant persons cannot understand the distinction between impersonal spiritual bliss and the variegatedness of the spiritual pleasure potency. The Hladini potency gives the Lord all transcendental pleasure, and the Lord bestows such a potency upon His pure devotee. Hladini is His aspect of bliss, Sandini of eternal existence, and Sambit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. The essence of the Hladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion. And the ultimate development of emotion is Mahabhava, purport. The product of the Hladini Shakti is love of God, which has two divisions, namely pure love of Godhead and adulterated love of Godhead. Only when the Hladini Shakti emanates from Sri Krishna and is bestowed upon the living being to attract him, does the living being become a pure lover of God. But when the same Hladini Shakti is adulterated by the external material energy and emanates from the living being, it does not attract Krishna. On the contrary, the living being becomes attracted by the glamour of the material energy. At that time, instead of becoming mad with love of Godhead, the living being becomes mad after material sense enjoyment. And because of his association with the qualitative modes of material nature, he is captivated by its interactions of distressful, unhappy feelings. Translation, Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Purport. The unadulterated action of the Hladini Shakti is displayed in the dealings of the damsels of Braj and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of the Hladini Shakti is love of Godhead. The essence of love of Godhead is bhava, or transcendental sentiment, And the highest pitch of that bhava is called Mahabhava. Srimati Radharani is the personified embodiment of these three aspects of transcendental consciousness. She is therefore the highest principle in love of Godhead and is the supreme lovable object of Sri Krishna. Translation. Of these two gopis, Radharani and Chandravali, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She is the embodiment of Mahabhava and she surpasses all in good qualities. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy and she helps him in his pastimes. Purport. Srimati Radharani is as fully spiritual as Krishna. No one should consider her to be material. She is definitely not like the conditioned souls who have material bodies, gross and subtle, covered by material senses. She is all spiritual, and both her body and her mind are of the same spiritual embodiment. Because her body is spiritual, her senses are also spiritual. Thus her body, mind, and senses fully shine in love of Krishna. She is the personified Ladini Shakti, and therefore she is the only source of enjoyment for Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna cannot enjoy anything that is internally different from him. Therefore, Radha and Sri Krishna are identical. The Sandini portion of Sri Krishna's internal potency has manifested the all-attractive form of Sri Krishna, and the same internal potency in the Ladini feature has presented Srimati Radharani, who is the attraction for the all-attractive. No one can match Srimati Radharani in the transcendental position of Sri Krishna. In the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual identity and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual ras. Does anyone know where that's from? Brahma Sanghita. Now, because we're reading this in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I wanted to read one very beautiful short piece which describes why Radharani created Sri Navadvip Dham. The holy Dham descends with Krishna, with Sri Krishna and his associates and paraphernalia. Sri Mayapur Dham, however, was Srimati Radharani's own creation to lure Krishna away from another lover. In the Ananta Sanghita, Shiva explains to Parvati why Srimati Radharani created merciful Sri Dham Mayapur. Lord Shiva told Parvati, as a bee plays in a lotus, Krishna was enjoined with Viraja in the pleasant forest groves of Vrindavan. Moon-faced, doe-eyed Radhika heard this news from Vansaki and hastily ran to find Krishna. Seeing that Radha was coming, Krishna suddenly disappeared, and the Viraja became a river. When Srimati Radharani arrived there, she could not find them. Absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Radha began to think of how to attract him away from Viraja. She gathered her sakis together between the Ganga and Jamuna rivers. She created a beautiful place decorated with creepers and trees and filled with male and female bumblebees. Deer and bucks were happily enjoying as they wandered about, and the whole area was filled with the fragrance of jasmine, mallika, and malati flowers. That transcendental abode was adorned with tulasi forests and decorated with various groves. On Radha's order, the Ganga and Jamuna, with their pleasant waters and banks, acted as a moat to protect the garden. Cupid himself, along with springtime, eternally resides there, and the birds constantly sing the auspicious name of Krishna. Radha, dressed in colorful cloth, then began to play a beautiful melody on a flute in order to attract Krishna. Attracted by that melody, Krishna appeared in that enchanting place. Radha, the attractor of Krishna's mind, seeing that Krishna had come, held his hand and experienced ecstatic delight. When Krishna, understanding Radha's mood, spoke, then Krishna, understanding Radha's mood, spoke in a voice choked with love. O lovely face Radha, you are my very life. There is no one more dear to me than you. Therefore, I will never leave you. Just for me, you have created this wonderful place. Staying with you, I will transform this place, filling it with new sakis and groves. The devotees will glorify this place as new Vrindavan. As this place is like an island, the wise will call it Nabadweep. By my order, all the holy places will reside there. Because you have created this place for my pleasure, I will live here eternally. Those people who come here and worship us will certainly attain our eternal service in the mood of the Sakis. Oh dear Radha, like Vrindavan, this place is extremely pure. If anyone comes here just once, he will obtain the results of going to all sacred places. He will quickly attain devotional service, which satisfies us. O Parvati, Lord Shiva continued, I have described to you the reason for the appearance of Nabadweep. When heard by mankind, this narration removes all sins and bestows devotional service. Whoever rises early in the morning and with devotion to Gaur recites or hears this story of Nabadweep's creation will certainly attain Gauranga. Haribo! And we'll just... Now, there's certainly a lot of pastimes that devotees have heard numerous times, and we can't touch upon all of them, but we'll read a few here and there. The pearl tree at Muktakund. While Radharani was washing the turmeric from her hands in the pond, some people saw her and informed her parents. Rishabhanu and Kirtida were so happy to hear that Jasoda had put turmeric paste on the hands of their daughter, thus announcing her engagement to Sri Krishna. They then immediately sent a plate of precious jewels and gems to Nanda and Jasoda in honor of their future relationship. Nanda and Jasoda were very happy to receive these jewels and gems. But then Mother Jasoda realized that to accept the proposal of marriage, they also had to send a plate of precious jewels and gems to Radharani's parents. But they did not have jewels and gems. When Krishna came to know about this problem his mother was facing, he took the jewels sent by Rishabhanu and Kirtida and planted them in the ground. Very soon, trees grew from the ground, their branches heavy with precious jewels. Happily, Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda Ma sent the jewels to Radharani's parents, and thus the marriage was agreed upon. Sometime later, Nanda and Jasoda went to Purnamasi to receive her blessings for the union. Purnamasi told them, if Radharani and Krishna marry at this particular time, then the marriage will not last. Maybe in future they can be married depending on their astrological charts. And so the marriage was stopped. Just as the fountainhead Lord Krishna is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vaibhava Vilas. The queens are the nature of her Vaibhava Prakash. Without many consorts, there is no such exaltation in rasa. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. Among them are various groups of consorts in Braja, who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the rasa dance and other pastimes. Purport. As already explained, Krishna and Radha are one in two. They are identical. Krishna expands himself in multi-incarnations and plenary portions like the Purushas. Similarly, Srimati Radharani expands herself in multi-forms as the goddesses of fortune, the queens and the damsels of Braj. Such expansions from Srimati Radharani are all her plenary portions. All these womanly forms of Krishna are expansions corresponding to his plenary expansions of Vishnu forms. These expansions have been compared to reflected forms of the original form. There's no difference between the original form and the reflected forms. The female reflections of Krishna's pleasure potency are as good as Krishna himself. The plenary expansions of Krishna personally are called Vaibhava Vilas and Vaibhava Prakash. And Radha's expansions are similarly described. The goddesses of fortune are her Vaibhava Vilas forms, and the queens are her Vaibhava Prakash forms. The personal associates of Radharani and the damsels of Braj are direct expansions of her body, as expansions of her personal form and transcendental disposition. They are agents of different reciprocations of love in the pastimes of Lord Krishna, under the supreme direction of Srimati Radharani. In the transcendental realm, enjoyment is fully relished in variety. The exuberance of transcendental mellows is increased by the association of a large number of personalities similar to Radharani, who are also known as gopis or sakis. The variety of innumerable mistresses is a source of relish for Sri Krishna, and therefore these expansions from Srimati Radharani are necessary for enhancing the pleasure potency of Sri Krishna. Their transcendental exchanges of love are the super excellent affairs of the pastimes in Vrindavan. By these expansions of Srimati Radharani's personal body, she helps Lord Krishna taste the rasa dance and other similar activities. Srimati Radharani, being the essential petal of the rasa lila flower, is also known by the names found in the following verses. Translation again. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Devi means resplendent, and most beautiful. Or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishnamayi means one who's within and without our Lord Krishna. One who is within and without our Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or Krishnamayi means that she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Purport. Krishnamayi has two different imports. First, a person who always thinks of Krishna both within and without, and who always remembers only Krishna. Wherever he goes or whatever he sees is called Krishna Mayi. Also, since Krishna's personality is full of love, his loving potency, Radharani, being non-different from him, is called Krishna Mayi. Her worship consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. Purport. The name Radha is derived from the root word Aradhana, which means worship. The personality who excels all in worshipping Krishna may therefore be called Radhika, the greatest servitor. Truly, the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore, Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lovely place, leaving us all behind. Therefore, Radha is Paramadevata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. The word Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. The word Sarva Kanti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Kanti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarva Kanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and the Lord, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus, Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. This is a couple of very nice verses from Rupa Goswami. Lord Krishna made Srimati Radharani close her eyes in shame before her friends by his words relating their amorous activities on the previous night. Then he showed the highest limit of cleverness in drawing pictures of dolphins in various playful sports on her breasts. In this way, Lord Hari made his youth successful by performing pastimes in the bushes with Sri Radha and her friends. O Purnamasi, if Lord Hari had not descended in Mathura with Srimati Radharani, this entire creation, and especially Cupid, the demigod of love, would have been useless. Even though Lord Krishna, the abode of all mellows, had previously in this way chewed the essence of the mellows of love, still he was unable to fulfill three desires, although he made efforts to taste them. I shall explain his first desire. Krishna says, I am the primary cause of all rasas. I am the full spiritual truth and am made of full joy. But the love of Srimati Radharani drives me mad. I do not know the strength of Radha's love with which she always overwhelms me. The love of Radhika is my teacher and I am her dancing pupil. Her praying makes me dance various novel dances. Whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. Just as I am the abode of all mutually contradictory characteristics, so Radha's love is always full of similar contradictions. Radha's love is all-pervading, leaving no room for expansion, but still it is expanding constantly. There is certainly nothing greater than her love, but her love is devoid of pride. That is the sign of its greatness. Nothing is purer than her love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked. All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Although it is all-pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. Sri Radhika is the highest abode of that love, and I am its only object. I taste the bliss to which the object of love is entitled. But the pleasure of Radha, the abode of that love, is 10 million times greater. My mind races to taste the pleasure experienced by the abode, but I cannot taste it, even by my best efforts. How can I taste it? If sometime I can be the abode of that love, only then may I taste its joy. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna was curious to taste that love. His eager desire for that love increasingly blazed in his heart. Now please hear of another. Seeing his own beauty, Lord Krishna began to consider. My sweetness is wonderful, infinite and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness. Although Radha's love is pure like a mirror, its purity increases at every moment. My sweetness also has no room for expansion, yet it shines before that mirror in newer and newer beauty. There is constant competition between my sweetness and the mirror of Radha's love. They both go on increasing, but neither knows defeat. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. Purport. Krishna's attractiveness is wonderful and unlimited. No one can know the end of it. Srimati Radharani alone can relish such extensiveness from her position in the Ashraya category. The mirror of Srimati Radharani's transcendental love is perfectly clear, yet it appears clearer and clearest in the transcendental method of understanding Krishna. In the mirror of Radharani's heart, the transcendental feature of Krishna appear increasingly new and ever fresh. In other words, the attraction of Krishna increases in proportion to the understanding of Srimati Radharani. Each tries to supersede the other. Neither wants to be defeated in increasing the intensity of love. Desiring to understand Radharani's aptitude of increasing love, Lord Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation: who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it, like Srimati Radharani. That was a verse from Rupa Goswami. Story. Krishna breaks Radha's yogurt pot. Srimati Radharani, along with her sakis, used to go out on the pretext of selling yogurt in the market of Mathura, carrying yogurt in clay pots on their heads. Sri Krishna and his friends would hide along the way, and when Radharani and the gopis approached, Krishna would block their path and speak to them with pleasant words. He would make them put down the pots from their heads and by force eat all the cream from the top of the yogurt. The sakis were harassed by this almost every day. One day they called a meeting and had a serious discussion. Lalita told Radharani, "O Sri Radhika, every day this most naughty boy Krishna is obstructing our path and eating all the cream from the top of the yogurt. Thus we are unable to sell our yogurt because no one wants to buy it without cream on top. Today we should go to Mathura via a different path." Today we will go through Shankari Kol, a path in between two mountains. That path is very isolated and Krishna will never know. He will be waiting on the other road. We will go to Mathura safely and Krishna be unsuccessful by not meeting us. We'll go back to his house. All the gopis liked Lalita Sakhi's proposal. Radharani and her sakis put the yogurt pots on their heads and started along the chosen path. All cognizant, Lord Sri Krishna knew the plan of the gopis. And instead of waiting on the path usually taken by Radharani and her sakis, Krishna went to Shankari Kol. Accompanied by his sakas, Krishna climbed to the top of a tree and awaited the arrival of, Radharani. Meanwhile, all the gopis were proceeding through Shankari Kol without any fear or apprehension. From the top of the tree, Krishna could see Radharani in the distance. He and his sakas hid themselves inside the tree and waited there quietly. As soon as Radharani reached there, Krishna came down from the tree and blocked her path. There was a big quarrel between the gopis and Krishna's sakas. Krishna was trying to reach the yogurt pot on the head of Sri Radhika, but she managed to fend off his advances. Sri Radha told him, "You have been eating the cream from our yogurt every day. As a result, the yogurt has not been sold. O Lampata, let us pass. It is getting too late. We have all to go very far to sell our yogurt, all the way to Mathura. Don't harass us like this every day." While speaking these words to Krishna, Sri Radha was trying to move around him and proceed on her way. When Krishna saw Radharani continue along the path without caring about him, he became angry. Picking up a stone, he aimed it at the yogurt pot on the head of Srimati Radharani. The yogurt pot broke and its contents spilled over the body of Radharani and on the ground. Sri Krishna and his friends collected the yogurt from the ground and happily ate it, dancing in ecstasy. This pastime took place between the month of Chaitra on Krishnastami Tithi. We'll just read a couple more little short stories here. This is a nice, funny little story. Krishna proves he is a pure brahmachari. Once the Vraja Gopikas decided to feed Durvasa Muni to get his blessings to lovingly attend the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Durvasa Muni was living on the other side of the river Jamuna. During that time, the Jamuna was filled to overflowing. How could they cross to the other side? The gopis asked Krishna to give some advice. Sri Krishna said, "You all should meditate upon your worshipable Lord and tell Jamuna that if Sri Krishna is a real brahmachari, then she should give you a way to go to the other side." The gopis were surprised to hear this from Sri Krishna because they knew he was always in their association. They laughed to hear him describe himself as a brahmachari and asked, "How is that possible? We see that you're always associating with us gopis. How can you call yourself a brahmachari?" Krishna said, "You go and tell this to Jamuna Devi, then see what happens." Then all the gopis went to the bank of the Jamuna and following the instruction of Sri Krishna said, "O Jamuna Devi, if it is true that Sri Krishna is a real brahmachari, then give us a way to cross you and go to the other side." To their great surprise, Jamuna immediately split into two and they went to Durvasa Muni's ashram. When they reached the other side of the river, they cooked different preparations and fed Durvasa Muni to his heart's content. Durvasa ate all the most tasty food very happily. Then he addressed all the gopis saying, "Let all of you attain staunch devotion onto the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Pleased that receiving the great Rishi's blessings, the gopis returned to the bank of the Jamuna to return to their homes. But once again the Jamuna was impassable, filled to her banks with water. Returning to Durvas Muni, they asked him the process by which they could cross the river. The Muni said, "Go to the bank of the Jamuna and tell her, 'O Jamuna Devi, if it is true that Durvas Muni did not eat anything until now, then please let us cross to your other bank.'" So the gopis went back to the bank of the Jamuna and did as they were trained by Durvas. They were surprised to see that once again, the Jamuna immediately gave way. "How is it possible?" they asked each other. "Is it not true that Durvas Muni had not eaten anything? We just fed him so much." They were all bewildered to see this contradiction. When they returned to their homes after crossing the river, they asked Sri Krishna to tell them the truth of these two events. They said, "O Krishna, we know that you are not a brahmachari because you are always associating and having pastimes with us. How is it then that Jamuna accepted such a thing as truth and gave us a clear pathway? And we just fed Durvas Muni until his stomach was full. How then could Jamuna Devi accept it as truth that he had not eaten anything until now and allow us to cross her banks? This is bewildering us. Please tell us the secret behind this." Krishna replied, "My dear gopis, you are all very simple and innocent. You all have so much love for me. You should know that even if I am staying with you all day and night, still I am a pure brahmachari. Acceptance of anything takes place through the mind. I am Jitendriya, and thus I have controlled all my senses. Without my desire, my mind does not touch anything. That is why I am a pure brahmachari. Even if I spend all my time with you, my dear gopis, in the same way Durvas Muni also eats without being attached to the taste of food. As a result, his mind does not become attached to anything." Thus, Sri Krishna removed the doubts of the Vraja Gopikas. It's a very good instruction that unless the mind agrees or engages, last story. This was really nice. Radha and Krishna meet at Siddha Ashram and Radharani's return to Goloka Dham. At the age of 25, Krishna left Mathura and went to Dwarka. Thus he was separated from Radharani for 100 years by the curse of Sridham. From time to time they would meet at Kurukshetra or in Vrindavan. One time they met at a place called Siddha Ashram. Siddha Ashram was famous for its worship of Ganesh. Many yogis and munis, including Sanat Kumar, received siddhi by performing tapasya there. And thus it was known as Siddha Ashram. Lord Ganesh always resides at Siddha Ashram, and thus all the demigods would come on the Purnima day in the month of Vaishak to worship him. At that time, kings from different parts of India also came to Siddha Ashram. Lord Krishna arrived there with all the Dwarka Vasis. Nanda Maharaj came with all the Gokul Vasis, and Srimati Radharani came with her millions of Sakis and Gopis. Radha and Krishna had been separated for 100 years. Arriving in Siddha Ashram, Radharani took bath and dressed in her new cloth. She worshipped Ganesh and offered many gifts to him, asking his blessings to remove all obstacles to serve Krishna and please him. The peaceful Ganesh told Radharani, "O Jagat Mata, you are Brahma Swarupa. This puja you are doing to me is only to teach people in general. You are the shelter of everyone. You are Adi Prakriti. Whatever gifts you have brought for me, please distribute among the Brahmanas. This way I and all the demigods will receive your gifts." At this time, Parvati Devi arrived. Radharani welcomed Parvati and offered her respectful obeisances, and then they embraced. Affectionately holding Radharani to her chest with a sweet voice, Parvati said, "O Radha, you are the abode of all auspiciousness. How can I ask about your welfare. Now you have been freed from the curse of Sridham and thus saved from the suffering of separation from Krishna. My mind and heart are always with you. There is no difference between you and Madhava. Now by my blessing you will meet Krishna. Then all the Sakis took Radharani and sat her on a very beautiful jeweled asan. After Radharani had taken her seat, all these Sakis decorated her very nicely. The demigods and sages present saw the land and water of Siddha Ashram had turned a brilliant golden color. Surprised by this, they sought out Krishna and asked him the cause of this. Krishna explained, "This place has become so bright due to the presence of Srimati Radharani. Her bodily effulgence is like the glow of millions of moons. It is very pleasing." All the demigods and great sages went to Radharani and offered their humble obeisances. And taking her darshan, Brahma, Shiva, Ananta, and all the devas offered prayers to Srimati Radharani. Seeing the beauty and opulence of Radharani, all the queens, including Rukmini Devi, hid their faces in shame. Vasudeva and Devaki were present there. By the instruction of Mahadev, Vasudeva arranged for a great yajna, then distributed gifts to the Brahmanas. Then all the Yadavas went back to Dwarka. Krishna, after finishing his Ganesha Puja, went to Dwarka in his Narayan portion. Sham Krishna stayed in Siddha Ashram. Then Krishna met with all the Gopas and Gopis and Mother Jasoda. After some time, Krishna said to Nanda Maharaj, "Oh, my dear father, please return with my mother and all the other Brajvasis to Vrindavan." Then taking leave of the Brajvasis, Krishna went to meet with Srimati Radharani. Krishna saw Radharani in her most beautiful Kishori form. She was seated on a jeweled asana, surrounded by millions of gopis. As soon as Radharani saw Krishna, she rose and along with all the gopis offered obeisances and prayed to Krishna. Krishna was looking very beautiful in his Kishore form. He was dressed very attractively, smiling sweetly, wearing yellow cloth. His whole body was smeared with sandalwood pulp. His body was decorated with all kinds of precious jewels and he wore a peacock feather on his head. He wore a delicately scented malati garland and held his flute in his hand. He looked extremely beautiful. Radharani said, "Oh my Lord, seeing your moon-like face, most attractive eyes and blissful body, today my life has become perfect and successful. I am burning in the fire of separation from you and drowning in the ocean of lamentation." Then she offered puja at the lotus feet of Krishna and made him sit on the singhasana with her. Seven gopis fanned them as they sat together. Radha began asking Krishna questions. She asked, "Why did you kill your uncle Kamsa? You left Vrindavan giving us your word that you would come back very soon. Why did you not come back?" She started to cry and became senseless and stopped breathing. The gopis picked her up, placed her in their laps and requested Krishna to bring Radha back to life. Then Krishna pacified them all and by his nectarian vision, he revived Radharani. Then Krishna gave transcendental knowledge to Radharani. He explained his and her swarup, how he is everywhere and how wherever he is, then Radharani is there in her expansion. After hearing these explanations from Krishna, Radha and the gopis were satisfied and offered their humble obeisances to the Lord. All the gopis left for their own houses and Radharani served Krishna alone with a content heart. Radharani requested Krishna, "Please let us go to Vrindavan. There we will have our sweet pastimes in the land of Vrindavan and in the waters of Jamuna." And so the next day, Krishna and Radha and their sakis returned to Vrindavan on a huge chariot. It was one yojana in size and had millions of rooms. As soon as the Vrajvasis heard Krishna had returned, everyone followed. Nanda and Jasoda came out to greet him with tears of happiness in their eyes. Krishna appeared to them as the young 11-year-old boy that he was when he left Vrindavan. He went to the lap of Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj, and Jasoda covered his face with kisses. Then Jasoda took Krishna into the house along with Radharani. Everybody saw the beautiful forms of Radha and Madhav. Nanda distributed sweets to all the residents of Braj and fed the demigods. Afterwards, Krishna called all his Gopa friends and went to Bandarivan, where he sat down at the place where previously the Brahmanas had offered Krishna rice. On his left sat Srimati Radharani, and to her left sat Rishabhanu and Kirtida. On Krishna's right sat Nanda and Jasoda. Then all the Gopas and Gopis took their respective places. One more paragraph here. Krishna told them, "This material world is temporary. It is filled with birth, death, old age, and disease. My dear father, you should immediately return to Goloka Vrindavan. Very soon Kali will manifest on this earth and spread his influence." Then the Lord explained all the symptoms of Kali Yuga. When Krishna was there explaining about Kali Yuga, suddenly a beautiful chariot that extended up to 4 yojanas arrived at that place. The chariot was decorated with Kastuba Mani and Parijata flowers. There were millions of temples inside, and the chariot was covered with a very rich, thin cloth. Thousands of gopis rode this chariot, which had come from Goloka. Then by the order of Krishna, the most blessed Srimati Radhika, along with her mother Kirtida and her gopis, mounted the chariot and returned to Goloka Dham without changing their bodies. Other gopis returned with them, leaving their material bodies and accepting spiritual bodies. Just before entering Goloka, they saw the beautiful Viraja River, whose bank was decorated with so many precious stones and jewels. After crossing Viraja River, Radharani went to Satashringa Mountain. From there she went to the most beautiful Rasamandal in Vrindavan. There she saw a very big banyan tree which extended up to 100 yojanas and had millions of branches. This tree, known as Akshaya Bhatta, had large red fruits. The most beautiful Brinda Devi, along with millions of gopis, welcomed Srimati Radharani to Goloka Vrindavan. Brinda Devi approached the chariot and helped Radharani descend. She then offered her obeisances to Radharani and all the gopis. Then Radharani entered her own residence. Brinda sat Radharani down on a Ratna Singhasan and offered her and washed her lotus feet. Other sakis fanned her with white chamras. Then all the gopis of Goloka came to take darshan of Srimati Radharani. Afterwards, they all welcomed Nanda and Jasoda and all the other Brajavasis who had come with her from Bhuloka Vrindavan. All of them stayed happily in Goloka Dham. Jai Srimati Radharani ki jai. Any questions or comments or something else to share? Otherwise, we'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai.